Okay, so I want to begin now the topic of Chazara. We were speaking until now, the past couple of weeks, we're speaking about leaving food on a fire, covered fire, non-covered fire, etc. And now I want to talk about the idea of Chazara. Chazara means taking a pot of food, which was has been sitting on a stovetop or in a crock pot or some other cooking device, and taking it off and being able to then put it replace it onto the fire. In other words, typically the case is taking it off and using some of it, and then you want to put back the rest of it to keep it hot for use later on in the day. Is that permissible, or under what circumstances that is permissible? So that's what's called chazara, right? Till now, the topic till now was shehia, just leaving it on the fire. Now chazara means removing it and replacing it. Okay, so in order to be allowed to do chazara, there are a number of tanaim, a number of conditions which have to be met. I think the probably the most basic condition, which is non-negotiable, is that the food in question has to have been completely cooked at the point that you're taking it off the stove and want to put it back on the stove. It has to be completely cooked. Now, completely cooked, we've defined already when it comes to these halachas, means it's ready to serve. You would serve it to your family or to a guest without hesitation. That's what's called completely cooked. And that, as we learned back in Hilchos Bishul, until something reaches that stage, there's still an Isser Bishul. Even if something is mostly cooked, it's quite edible. It's not perfect. Let's take a chum. And it's been up for a number of hours already. But, it was on a very low flame, whatever it is. And it's quite edible. But the beans are, they're a little bit on the hard side. Maybe even some other parts of it. The beans are the toughest thing to cook. Maybe the potatoes, maybe the meat, whatever. It's not really so gishmak yet. I mean, if you had to serve it, you would. So let's say it's Friday night now, and you would like to be able to take some of that chal and then put it back on. So Friday night, it's very possible that it's at a point where it's not really ready to serve l'chadchila. It's worth taking. You'd like a little bit of the chal, you know. So it's not as good. By tomorrow morning, it'll be much better. By tomorrow morning already, it'll sit overnight on the fire, even on a low flame. Things will soften up, and then it'll be mamish ready. So that chal Friday night is called not mavushal called sarko. It's edible. It's a lot more than Michael Ben Drusai. Yeah, you'd be able to eat it, but it's not what you want. It's not ready. It's not really ready to serve to him. So that's called not mavushal called sarko. That chal you cannot put back. If you take it off, you can't put it back. So you want to be pretty sure, if you're going to take it off Friday night and you need it for tomorrow morning as well, you want to be pretty sure that it's been cooking long enough so that it's it is ready to serve. I know what we do at home, we don't usually take any Friday night, but anyway, even so, we usually cook the chal on the stovetop, on a regular electric stovetop before Shabbos, and I check it, or my wife checks it before Shabbos and taste it and see if it's mamish edible, ready to serve, and the beans are soft, the meat is soft, and everything. And then we transfer it over to the crock pot, it's in the crock pot to begin with, and put it into the crock pot base, where it stays then on a medium setting, so that it won't burn, but it'll stay. And this way, so theoretically, if we wanted to use some Friday night, if I wanted to take it off and put it back, I've met the first condition, because it's ready to serve. Now, what I want to clarify is that it could be Friday night, it is ready to serve, and you would serve it to a guest, you wouldn't hesitate. That doesn't mean by Shabbos morning it won't be more gishmak, it won't be better. It could still be improving. That's the concept we spoke about, mitstamik v'yafalo. It could be still improving, but it gets even tastier. But that's okay, that's not called bishul. If you take something off the fire, and it's at a point where it's ready to eat, but if you put it back on, it'll be enhanced by more cooking. It'll taste better. That's okay, as long as it's mavushal kol tzarko. Okay, so that's mean ready to serve. So that is the first condition that must be met in order to be able to do chazara. The next very basic condition is that you can only do chazara onto a covered flame, onto a blech, or as we spoke about in the past, we spoke about these concepts by shehiyah, but by chazara it's absolutely critical. If it's a crock pot, it has to be that the typical type of crock pot where you have, you know, the metal cylinder, oval shaped thing which the pot goes into, it has to be completely lined with foil, so that because the heating elements are in the walls there, so even though they're not visible, there's no visible fire or visible element, but it has to be completely lined with foil, the bottom and the sides. Or if it's a regular stovetop, it has to have a blech on it or tin foils. We mentioned in the past, some say one layer of tin foil is enough. Some say if you're using just tin foil, it has to be either heavy-duty foil or a few layers of foil. But that's absolutely imperative for chazara. Whereas by shehiyah, we said it depended how far along it was, even if it wasn't fully cooked. Maker adin, as long as it was cooked with malchah ben drusai, if you just want to leave it there going into Shabbos, you could leave it on an open flame. But if you want to take it off the flame and put it back, it must be a covered flame no matter what. Now, you could cover it though on Shabbos. Let's say you tack a left, I don't know, but your chant was sufficiently cooked that you're allowed to leave it on an open flame. And you did that. And now you decide, you know, you typically don't do chazara, you just take it off when you want to serve it in the morning and finish. But you have somebody who wants to try some Friday night, or maybe it's even Shabbos morning, and it turns out someone in the family is not going to be there when the suud is first served because he has to go somewhere else, and he's coming back an hour later. So you want to serve the chant and then be able to put it back onto the fire so it'll stay hot for this other family member, and you don't normally do that, so you didn't cover the flame, so you can cover it on Shabbos. Let's say a regular stovetop, if you have a blech, you can put the blech down on Shabbos. You're allowed to put the blech down on Shabbos. Parenthetically, the chazin. Sorry.
What's the chazin could do that? Why not?
Why not? You might have said that some things have to be set up before Shabbos. You might have said like the way the stove is set up before Shabbos, that determines its matzav, and so you can't cover the flame. Or a person might think that maybe by covering the flame, he's doing some form of kibui, of an extinguishing perhaps. Or there is one more consideration, I was about to say. The Chazanish has a shita. Chazanish holds that even though he agrees, I mean, it's mafurish, that you can cover the flame of Shabbos, but not with metal, according to the Chazanish. Because there is a din, as we learned a couple of months ago, that there is an isser of bishul on metal. If a person would heat up metal to the point that it would become soft and you could shape it, he would be over an isser. So the Chazon Ish holds that even if you heat it up, it doesn't get to that degree, but it's in the Chatzi Shir. Just like Chatzi Shir is also in all the Malachas, he holds this as like a Chatzi Shir in Bishul. So according to the Chazon Ish, when the Halacha says you're allowed to cover the flame on Shabbos, it doesn't mean with a metal covering. It has to be something non-metal, something
stone.
Asbestos or whatever.
Stone?
Yeah, stone. I mean, they talk about asbestos exactly, but that is a... but yeah, something like that, right? Almost everybody disagrees with this Chazon Ish, and they say even though the halacha is that if you get something so hot, metal so hot that you could reshape it, that's a malacha. But as long as you're putting on a flame which it wouldn't get there even if you left it the entire Shabbos, it'll never get that hot, it'll never get that soft. So then there's no din chazishir even, and you're allowed to do it. That's pretty much the consensus. Not like this chazinish. But okay, so you're allowed to cover it on Shabbos if you have the, you know, what to cover it with. But as I said, it must be covered to put it back. Okay. A third condition is that it has to still be somewhat hot. It doesn't have to be burning hot. And as you took the chant off and it's been off for a little bit, and it may have cooled down. So the psak for Ashkenazim is that it just has to be hot enough that it would be considered a hot food. It would be considered to be worth eating as a hot food, which it doesn't have to be Yad Seledesbo even. It could be less than Yad Seledesbo. But it's not room temperature.
How many minutes let's say you leave it for how long?
It depends. I mean, it depends how hot it was. It depends how much it is. If you have a huge pot of chont and It can be off for a long time. It take a long time to really cool down. If you have a small two-portion shalt, it might just take 20 minutes or less. You feel it. Take your finger and sweep me, see if it's hot enough. But we'll see in a minute. Usually you're not going to leave it off so long anyway, because you're really not supposed to put it down. Even.
Put it down. That's
yeah, right. Well, okay. Fine. But we'll get to that in a second. Okay, but it has to still be hot. This is another condition that in order to put it back, it has to be hot. Now, according to the Psak of the Mechaber, which the Sfaradim follow, anytime it's, once it gets to less than Yad Soledus Bo, it's already, there's an issur to reheat it. This is a bishul.
What would be the reason for that toast to be hot?
What's the reason? Because it has to be, the chazara has to be that you're like continuing the original cooking. It can't look like it's like you're initiating a new cooking. Once it's cooled off already, that it's not even, you wouldn't even call it a hot food, then it's not, it's ke'ilu you're starting a new cooking in Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do.
But if there's no
right, that's not bishul chabishul, but that's off the fire. But to put something back on a fire, even a covered fire, that it looks like what's called a shia chadasha. It looks like you're initiating it on the flame. You're not allowed to put food on the flame on Shabbos, right? And if you take food which is already so cooled off, mamish cooled to the point where it doesn't even, like it's room temperature, it's not even worth, you wouldn't even eat it this way, then putting it on the fire gives the appearance that you're initiating a new shia on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. Like we'll see, you're not allowed to take something out of the refrigerator, which was not, or even out of a table, something which was not on the fire when Shabbos started, you're not allowed to put onto the fire. This whole discussion is something that was there when Shabbos began, and you took off on Shabbos, and you want to put it back on Shabbos. But if it was off before...
A ready thing, like a challah, you can't put on the blech?
Correct. Directly on the blech, no. You can't put a challah directly on the blech. You can put it on top of a pot. As we'll see, we'll get to these details. But straight on the blech, you can't. Because according to at least the majority of poskim, and that's the position that we are maintaining here, that the blech is just considered a cover for the fire. It just makes it a covered fire. And a covered fire, you're only allowed to do chazara. You're not... What?
For shahir. It works for shahir, right?
Or chazara also. No, a blech works for chazara. But chazara means it was on the fire and you're putting it back. Now... We'll see. It could be that you took it off even before Shabbos, but the point is, as I said, it's still hot, meaning as opposed to something that you took an hour, that you cooked it on Friday morning and then you put it in the refrigerator, or you cooked it and then it's sitting on your table for the past 5 hours and it's stone cold and everything, that type of thing, that you cannot put on the fire on Shabbos, even on the blech. That's what's called nesina lechatchila, or that's called in the Lashon Poskim a shia chadasha, you're initiating a new shihia, which you can't do on Shabbos. You can't start a shihia on Shabbos. You could just do chazar. Okay, so that's why it's got to still be hot. Okay, so again, so far it's got to be fully cooked. It's got to be you have to be putting it onto a covered flame, and it's got to be still at least somewhat hot. According to the to complete the answer to your question, why does it have to be hot? According to the Sfaradim, it has to be hot because otherwise it's mamish bishul. They hold yesh bishul acha bishul, and calls man into, as long as it went down to less than the outside as well. Okay, now in addition to these conditions, there are two other conditions, and they are that. When you took it off, you did so with the intention of putting it back, right? You took it off and intending to put it back onto the fire. So that's also at least lechatchila required, as opposed to something you took off, and after it's off, even if it's still hot and you're still holding it, this and that, you decide, you know what? I think I don't want to serve it now. We'll serve it later. And that lechatchila you can't do. Once you took it off with no intention of putting it back, then you're not supposed to put it back. At least lechatchila, we'll see. And the second condition that it has to be oda b'yado. Now, oda b'yado means that you're still holding it, that you didn't put it back, put it down. And I just want to clarify that for these, the mechaber is less machmer than the Ramah. The lashon the mechaber, if you look in Simin Reish Nun Gimel Siv Beis, where this all comes from, the mechaber just says mutal hachzira, you can put it back kol zman shehiro sachas, as long as it's still very hot. Velo hinich al gabi karka, you didn't put it down on the ground. He doesn't mention that you have to have in mind to put it back. Rama is that. He doesn't mention it. He doesn't say you have to still be holding it. He just says you can't put it down on the ground, as opposed to putting it down on a different surface, on a bench or a chair or something. Because putting it down on the ground, that's like saying goodbye to it. That's what, at least in the time of Chazal, you know, that's when they were finished with the pot, they would put it on the floor. That's where they would put it, at least, you know, temporarily, until they washed it out or whatever. They put it on the floor. So putting on the floor is like a sealer. It's like saying I'm done with it. It's not going back in the fire. Whereas I put it down on a safsal, I put it down on a bench or on a table or on a mita, then that means I'm still in the middle. I'm still in the middle of using it, and I might very well want to put it back. So according to the Chabad, that's fine. You don't have to worry about holding it in your hand, and you don't even have to be concerned about whether you had a mind to put it back, as long as you didn't put it down on the ground and it's still hot. But the Ramah adds in, no, that it's odena biyado, not just that you didn't put it down on the ground, but you're actually still holding it. You didn't even put it down on a table or a bench. And he also adds in daito lahachazira, that you had a mind, when you took it off the fire, you had a mind to put it back onto the fire. So, okay, so now these two conditions are, you know, discussion in the Gemara whether or not one has to actually comply with them and meet these conditions. So the Ramah, as I said, the Ramah brings them down the halacha, but if you look in the Pasuk, look in the Mishnah, you learn the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, he comes out that as long as you met one of the two, it's okay. Correct. As long as you b'di'eved, for example, let's say you took it off with the intention of putting it back, but you didn't hold it the whole time. You put it down, not on the ground. If you put it on the ground, the Mishnah Berurah is not anxious to allow you to be maker. But because putting on the ground, as I said, that's a more severe state. Well, hold that for a second. You just made a big assumption. Well, we'll address your assumption in a minute. What is it?
Doesn't mean putting in the fridge would be
like
putting on the ground.
Okay, so we'll get that. You know, but let's just use what it says so far in Shulchan Aruch. If you put it down on the ground, then the Mishnah verse says, now then forget it, don't put it back. But if you didn't put it down on the ground, just put it down on a mita, safsal, shulchan. You put it down somewhere else. You didn't hold it in your hand, but you did have in mind to put it back. You could be makel and put it back if you have a need for it. Or the other way around. Let's say when you took it off, you didn't have in mind to put it back. You weren't even planning it. But you're still holding it. Still holding it in your hand. And then you decide, you know what, I don't think I want to serve it yet. Whatever you decide. And you want to put it back. So you can, if there's a need to do so, you can put it back. Even though you had no intention of putting it back when you took it off. But you didn't put it down, so you can put it back. So the Mishnah Berurah Paskes. This is all talking about, again, on Shabbos. Not again. This is all talking about on Shabbos. Meaning, if you took it off before Shabbos, with the intention of putting it back, and you put it down on the table, then already it's not pashut to put it back, even if it's still hot and the fire is covered and everything else. But you took it off before Shabbos, then it's more chumer. So we're talking about if you took it off, the typical cases really, you took it off on Shabbos, and as I said, you had no intention to put it back, but you're still holding it, or you did have intention to put it back and you're not holding it. So then you could be mekel and put it back. Now, so, but if put it on the ground, we said not. So the shaila is, well, what about for today? Did that change? Did that change, meaning, you could suggest two ways. One way is the Sfarim talk about, is that maybe today putting it down on a counter is like the ground. Because, well, you know, certainly the refrigerator. Yeah, that'd be maskim. If you took it off and put it in the refrigerator, you clearly didn't have any intention to put it back, and more than that, that's mamash a siluk, right? That's you completely severed it from the cooking, from its cooking status. It's cooking matzah. By putting it in the refrigerator, you really indicated I'm done with it. So now to put it back, that taka would not be okay to do. Putting it on a counter is a shayla poskim. Do we say that today a counter is like the ground? Some say that, but that's not so pashut, because many times people do put things down on the counter. You know, even if they're in the middle of using it, counters could be used for multiple purposes, right? You could use a counter as just to, you know, put it aside till after Shabbos when you can wash it, or you could use the counter as a, you know, as a service. So I even saw they bring from Rav Shmuel Arbach, so that he says efsher, it'll depend if it's a counter that's near the stovetop or far away. If you put down a counter right near the stovetop, so true, you know, you're using it. If you put it on a counter on the other side of the kitchen, that's like the karka. You know, it's like very fine.
What's with the cover?
Cover? What do you mean?
Cover from the shofar down.
Could you put the cover down?
Yeah, if you're yourself at home, you can't.
Yeah, you can put the kavi then. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no food.
Yeah.
But food from this, you for sure can.
Well, we'll see what to do if you're alone. We'll get to it in a minute. What should you do if you have no one to help you?
Is the floor viewed as you're done with this challenge, or is it you're not intending to put it back? Because let's say, for example, putting it on the counter, you're saying still be put it on and put it back. But like, let's say I take it out of the kitchen, put it on the dining room table. So I'm obviously still using the challenge. It's not being discarded, or I'm not done with it. But it's more knicker that I'm not necessarily intending to put it right back. I'm serving it on the table. So right, I'm just saying, what is putting on the floor?
No, so I said, love that. I mean, again, the dining room table doesn't mean you don't want to. You brought a dining table because that's where you want to serve the portions. Maybe you do intend to put it back. The floor, the idea is, it's considered like a complete siglok from the stovetop. It's considered like you. It's like the refrigerator. It's like you. So. So Shmuel first said that he told us that he actually asked Rav Moshe and said he asked both Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman Auerbach the following shaila, if perhaps nowadays we could be mekel, that's to say that putting it on the floor, it doesn't mean that, because putting it on the floor doesn't mean, you know, people don't put things on the floor when they're done with them. Why do you put it on the floor? I don't know why you put it on the floor. Maybe because he needed some, he was too heavy and whatever it was, he put it on the floor. But the floor is not used as storage space for dirty pots now, typically. So maybe putting on the floor will no longer has that same connotation. The same. So Rav Moshe said in Chanami, that is correct. And putting on the floor doesn't mean that you can't put it back. Just like we the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, that you could put it back if you had in mind, if you put it on the table. So why didn't you put it on the floor? Rav Shlomo Zalman said it can't be Mishnah, but it says Shulchan Aruch. And it says in Gemara, it says Shulchan Aruch, put it on the floor, it's no good. So we're bound by that. So, okay, but typically you wouldn't put it on the floor. Now the question is, so the best thing to do, what you're supposed to do here is take, if you want to serve some of it and put it back, take it off, and you know, you have somebody help you. You help one person hold the pot, and the other person ladle out. Now, but let's say you have no one to help you. So the first thing, let me ask like this. So maybe if you want to serve some of the challenge, you should. So don't take it off the fire. Don't take it off the blech to begin with. Just take off the cover. It's fully cooked. Remember, too, in a chalent, it's fully cooked. Otherwise, you didn't get the first base. It's fully cooked. So take off the cover and take out some chalent and put the cover back. Just leave it there. Don't take it off the blech. Is that okay? So I think we learned to be back to Hilchos Bishul. I'm not sure, but this is for sure the time to bring it up, even whether we learned it or not. A pot that is on a fire, or even a covered fire, even on a blech or a crock pot, whatever, it is usur to stir, even if it's fully cooked. The food is fully cooked. You're allowed to take the cover off and put it back, but you're not allowed to stir the contents of the food when it's on the fire. As I state in, well, this is one of the sources of the Kolbo, is a region called the Kolbo, which, and it's brought down in the poskim at the end of Simin Shin Yud Ches. So that for sure not able to do. But what about taking out with a spoon? So that the Mishnah Berurah and Shin Yud Ches brings two shitas, whether taking out with a spoon is equally problematic while it's on the fire. While it's on the fire, fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, for sure you can't do it, because that would be an aspect of cooking. But to get it is fully cooked. So it's fully cooked, pashtus, it's not shaykh to cook it anymore. In fact, the whole thing we're discussing is it's fully cooked. You can take it off the fire and put it back on. So if you can put it back on the fire, obviously there's no cooking left to do here. It's not considered cooking. So you might say, so if it's not considered cooking, so why can't I stir it? What's wrong with stirring it on the fire? It's fully cooked. So the poskim are Maris Ayin. I think they say that. I mean, like,
why is stirring it if it's fully cooked and ready to go? Why would you be stirring it?
How many people do that before they serve a child? They want things. It's fully cooked, but it's you want it to get it, you know, well into everything mixed together well. So that might be good for the answer, though. Maybe the fact that you're doing that, maybe that's considered like an additional aspect of Bishul. At least it got me on the fire. In fact, there's even a shayla poskim if you could do that when it's off the fire, even if fully cooked and off the fire. Calls maziat selezpo. So that the Mishnah Berurah's lashon is, if you want to be machmer, you can be machmer in that, but you know, not indicated you mechuyev to. But on the fire, we taka hold, it's usher. So now, so like I was saying, so the poskim are bothered. What's what's the problem? Like, what? So you take a look, and Rav Moshe has a mahalach and those, but whatever it is, that you can. So the shayla is taking out with a spoon. Is that also considered a form of, maybe that itself stirs it? When you take some out, you stir it up a little, and stirring it is usher, so maybe that's usher. Or maybe the reason why you can't take some, maybe there should be, you shouldn't be allowed to take some out with a spoon, because when you do that, it's common to stir it before taking out, to stir it and then take some out. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, at the end of Shin Yud Ches, he brings two shitas. He brings a machlokas between the Beis Yosef here and the Eliyahu Rabbah. This is in Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Shin Yud Ches Sifkan Kuf Yud Gimel. Uven Espashal called Sarko, Afilu Omed Al Gabi Yor, even if it's still on the fire, Mutter Lahotzi Bekaf. That's mutter, that you could take, you can't stir, but you could take some out with a spoon. The rabbi says, no, you shouldn't even do that. You shouldn't take out with a spoon. And this is how we pass. Rav Moshe passing is this way, pretty stark. In fact, the shaila was posed to Rav Moshe by Rav Shimon Eider. Let's say you have a pot that's very heavy, very large and very heavy and very full of chalent. For example, let's say you're in the Lakewood Yeshiva, and even back in Rabbi Eider's days, which is going back 30, 40 years ago, whatever, but when the Yeshiva wasn't the size it is now, but it was, Baruch Hashem, large, and they wanted to serve some of the chalent Friday night. This is, in fact, this is what brought about the Shilas. I heard this from David Zucker, said this was the context in which the Shilas was asked. So what they would do in Lakewood under the direction and the head to Rishner Kotler told them the pot's very, very heavy, very full. He told them they could just leave it on the fire. It was fully cooked Friday night, and they could take out, they could be somich on this base, the Beis Yosef, the first sheet of the Mishnah Berurah, and be motzi bekaf straight from the fire, not to have to lift off this huge pot and then hold it and put it back, whatever. So Rabbi Yadi asked Rav Moshe. So he asked Rav Moshe, this is why he phrased the question. Let's say you have a very heavy pot, could you do that? And Rav Moshe said, no. You have to be machmer. It's the Prince of Tshuva. It's like in the back of Rabbi Sefer. It's in the Igros Moshe. Now also in Chelik Dalev Archaim Simen Ayin Dalev. The Moshe said no. Moshe said no. You can't do that. You have to be machmer like the Eliyahu Rabbah. Even if it's a very heavy pot, you have to come up with an eitzah, but you can't take it straight off. You can't spoon out what else on the fire. Okay. So assuming you're going to be machmer like that, you can't do that.
I'm looking at the mask, but some people have eggs.
Eggs?
Yeah, they can take it out before.
No, if you're going to be machmer like this, Eliyahu Rabbah, like Rav Moshe, no, you can't.
I think the question is, you're not really going to mix. It's so on top.
I hear. I understand. But Hotzah B'Kaf, it doesn't say, like some learn, it's not that the Hotzah itself is a mixing, but it's the derech. It's the derech to be mixed when you take something else, the derech. You shouldn't take out even an egg. If you follow Rav Moshe's psak, which is, the sheet of the Eliyahu Rabbah, the Mishnah Berurah, you shouldn't do that. You should lift it up. Okay, so now we're back to the shayla. Let's say you're not in Lakewood Yeshiva, you're in your own kitchen at home, but you have no one to help you. Friday night, the rest of the family is sleeping, and you want a little chalent before you go to sleep. You want a little chalent fully cooked. You want to taste it. But there's nobody around, just you. So you're going to take it off the fire. How are you going to hold? You're going to hold it and serve it. You probably end up on the karka. We say you don't put the chalent on the karka. You may end up with the chalent on the karka. So how do you do it? So Ramesha Paskins, you can put it down on the table and keep your hand on it. That's called a biyado. It doesn't have to be you're holding it, that you're supporting it. You only put it down and you just keep your hand on the handle. It's not really much more doable. Put it down, make sure the spoon's nearby, hold on to it. Hold on with one hand. The other Chadmar Mshik says no, that's not called a biyado. So there are other Paskin that weigh in on the Shaila. But that's one side. But what's a little bit better is that they bring from Abayashev that don't put it down fully. Like, put it down on the table somewhere and just put it down like this. Like, keep it.
Not fully.
What's that?
Not fully,
right. Don't let it rest securely and just keep your hand in it, but keep it at an angle. And this way, you're still supporting it. And maybe what's, if it shies even better, Shmuel Kamenetsky brings in the same for the idea of putting it by the edge of the, put it by the edge of a table so that it'll mamish fall if you let go. Put it by the edge of the table and hold on so that you're really supporting it. Meaning, the Rabbi Yashua's way, if you let go, it'll just fall down the table. Shmuel suggests putting it by the edge of the table, where if you let go, it'll end up in the floor.
Isn't the counter good enough? You can't according to what the sheet is.
Counter, you just put it down on the counter. But it's b'diavad. He said that's b'diavad. It's not l'chatchila. B'diavad, if you put it down on the counter, it died to l'ach, so you're allowed to put it back. It's not l'chatchila. So Rav Moshe is saying it's l'chatchila. At least if you need to, you could do a l'chatchila. You could keep your hand on it. And like I said, so different madrigas. So you do the best you can. You have if you're alone, see what one of these three eights is of how to put it down and still maintain the halacha within a biyadim. Okay, so. Okay, so fine. So we've gone through the tanoim that you need, and we said which ones are absolutely not. Most of them are really makiv, and the last two would then be other. And so we said if you meet one of the two, then you'd still be allowed at least b'diavad, at least b'makom sarich, you'd be allowed to put it back.
Would a haplik be considered also a covered flame, or is that even less a lesser degree?
Say that again.
A haplik.
Legabe what?
Any of these.
Well, okay, so let's legabe taking out with a spoon, it's the same thing. Or stirring, the same thing. You should not stir while it's on a hot plate. We're talking about a hot plate where it's just hot. More than yet's lettuce, but especially the ones nowadays, many of them are extremely hot. You should not stir it on a hot plate. We do treat it like a kira legabe that. So as far as chazara, so I think we mentioned last week, but we could repeat. As far as shehiya and chazara onto a hot plate, so many hold, Rosh Hashanah Zaman is meforish this way in the Shemir Shabbos and in other places, Rav Moshe definitely held this way, and some other posts can go along with this, that you do not need to cover it. If you just want to leave the pot on there from before Shabbos onto Shabbos, or even if you want to be able to take the pot off and do chazara, you could do that without covering it. You don't need any additional cover on the high plate because it's considered groove of ketubah. The high plate that's non-adjustable. Non-adjustable, has no dial, it's just you plug it in, on and off, whatever, that's it. So it's considered garfakatim. Garfakatim, the terms we used last week, it's considered like the flame is completely covered or there are no coals because it's not adjustable. So that's why I said Rosh Hashanah Zalman and Rav Moshe both hold that it's mutter without a blech or without any covering. There are chalkim I mentioned at the other extreme. The Chazon Ish holds that a hot plate is just like a regular stovetop, and you have to, you need the same whatever provisions you need on a stovetop. You need a hot plate. The Chazon Ish and Rav Eliashiv paskin that way, like the Chazon Ish, the Chumra. Those are the basic sheetahs there. But in terms of stirring on a hot plate, everyone agrees you can't, even if it is covered. Even if you do have you covered with foil or something, you still can't stir. Now, right? Now, what about if you have a blech? Which used to be, the common situation, people have a stovetop with four burners, and they have a blech on, and usually, or frequently, not all the burners are on. You have one burner or two burners on, so by those burners, that's where it's hottest, that's for sure considered right at Ala Eish. What about the rest of what is the status of the rest of the blech? Legabe, everything we're talking about, legabe chazara, could you do chazara if the pot is on a part of the blech which is not right over one of the fires? It's like, let's say you have the front two fires on, and you push the pot's pushed all the way to the back. Could you move it to the front? Could you stir over there? What is the status of the blech? So the, what is that? Say once again. Well, the whole thing has certain dinim, but Ramesha held really that you really could be divided into three areas. Some of them might only have two areas, but the one area is right over the Eish, directly over the Eish. There, that has a full din of Al-Gabe Eish. The second area is where it's not mamish over the fire, but it's still very hot. If you put food there, it'll get the Yad Saletis bow. It's near the fire, but not on the fire at all. But the pot would not be sitting, there's no fire right underneath the pot, but it's quite close. And then there could be a third area where it's not even that, where it's fairly warm. If you put food, you might not be comfortable leaving your hand there, but if you put a pot there, it's not gonna heat anything. You put a cold pot there, it's not gonna heat anything up. So that third area, Ramosha held, is not really even considered ala ish at all. There you can even take something from the refrigerator if you wanted to and put it there. It's not even yatsle, it's not going to get yatsletas bow. It might take off the chill a little bit, so you might have some toelis in putting it there, but that's not considered putting on the eish at all. And you could, like I said, you could put something from the fridge and put it right over there. That's right.
But you do the brand new shiur.
But it maybe to the untrained eye, but if a person knows, you know, it's not hot. It's not.
Nobody can see with.
Okay, so mashallah ma'adav adam. Let's say you have a stovetop with four things, and you have a blech over one of them, right? And the other ones are off. So could you take something out of the fridge and need a place to put it down? Put it down on one of the burners that's completely off.
Not covered.
Nothing. So for sure you could, right? Say now somebody looking from a distance would say, oh, what did he just do? He just took a pot out of the fridge and put it on the stove. What's going on? The stove is off. There's nothing there. Well, let's say they're all off. You just put it down. Obviously, you could use your stovetop as a countertop on Shabbos if it's completely off. So here, okay, I agree. Here it's a little more tricky because, as you say, nobody could see underneath. But lemaisa, that's so that you know we don't make our own takanas of marasayim. Lemaisa, it is off, so it's not part of the kira. According to Rav Moshe, that's not even part of the kira. It's like a counter on the side of the thing. And as long as you know that you can't get anything hot there,
you have to put stuff there.
Sorry.
Instead of putting it on the counter, you could slap it in the front where it's no fire and take out and push it back.
Oh well, so I didn't say you could push it back from there. That's quite good. But that's where could you push it back from there? You could take it if you could do. You could slide out there, but l'chara, once you slid it there, it's off. Because I just told you, you could take something. I told you, you could take something from the fridge and put it there. So obviously, that's not considered. That's not considered the fire at all. So how could you assume that you could just slide something over there and then slide it back? So Pasha is no. The answer is no. You can't. Once you slid it over there, then it's off the fire. It hasn't been. It won't be worse than putting it on the counter if you had das to put it back. So you could put it back with the oven, but it's still not a chatchila. Not a thing to do. Okay, that's the third area. But the second area, which is very hot, it will get through the Yetzlitzbo, albeit that it's not over the fire. So that Ramosha held that there you could do. You could slide the pot from directly over the fire onto that area. And from that area, he held you're allowed to take food out. You're allowed to stir, whatever. It's not considered al ha'esh legabi the isser of hagasa of stirring al ha'esh, or legabi this isser of taking hotzah b'kaf. For that, it's not considered al ha'esh, and you could put it back. So that very much like area two, not area three that we were talking
so
about before.
Area two, you don't have to pick up. You can take
right.
out. And
that's right. If you have a blech like that with only one or two fires on, and the there's another part of the blech that's not over the Eish at all, but he says you have to be careful. No part of the Kedera could be over the Eish. You have to make sure you move the pot sufficiently that no part of it has fire, has a coil or fire underneath it. You know, that's ignited, and then you could take out from there and then slide it back onto there.
So it's not considered on the Eish legabe taking out, but it is considered on the Eish
legabe chazara. Because and the svar, you know, we can hear the svar. It's not so vite to hear because like legabe chazara, that's b'chol not a see. Look, you just moved it to a spot where it still keeps it very high. You might even want to do that over the course of Shabbos. You know, if you see your chalent is bubbling too much or you're afraid it might be burning, so you might want to move it there. And then a little bit before the suda, you want to get it hotter and move it back. So that's the fact that you move it there doesn't show at all a siluk for the
Eish.
Right,
exactly.
Basically, right.
That's
right. Yeah.
So
wait,
That spot, that second spot, is hotter. That spot is hotter than putting on a regular plopper without the switches.
Yeah, but there's, but the thing is that the plata is on. It has, first of all, I don't know if it is or isn't. I mean, it depends on how good your plata is. But the point is the plata has coil, heating coils in there, which it's a cooking or at least a warming element. This is a piece of metal which is covering your stovetop. So and this part has no fire underneath it. So it's karav la'esh. It's karav la'esh, so as I said, it doesn't indicate a siluk. The fact that I moved the pot there doesn't show I'm done with this pot. Adrav, it shows I just want to, you know, keep it maybe from getting too from
so
burning.
On area two, Erev Shabbos, can you move it to area one?
Yes, that was nice there. Moshe says you can. Moshe says if Shabbos began on, it was on area two, you can even, as long as it was there when Shabbos began, you can. You can't obviously take it. Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, you can't move it from the fridge onto that area. Then. But yes, if it was there from before Shabbat, it's a tshuva. If you look in Siman Samach Aleph in Chelek Dalet of Aruch Chaim, he says you could do that. So that would be a great Eisa. I think, I mean, the only reason why it's not the answer to all the problems is that most people don't bless anyone. People use crock pots or whatever, or platis. So, but if you have that, then it's not that difficult. You just slide it, like we just said. These are emotions. Rabbi Yashav is a little bit different, both, and it comes out Lakula and Lachumra. Rabbi Yashav holds that any area on the blech that is hot enough that it's worth putting your food there, even the, well, where Ramesh calls area 3, right, where it will not get your food to Yad Soledis Bo, but it will take off the chill. It's hot enough that it's worth putting your food there from the fridge. So Rabbi Yashav says you're not allowed to. I mean, that's considered putting it ala esh. In those Rabbi Yashav, he says it has a shame kira aleha. Once the blech covers it, any part of the blech that is hot enough that it's worth putting food there, it has a shame kira, and mamela, you can't put food from the refrigerator onto that area. But meidach, he's on the other hand, he's meikel that if you moved food to there, you could put it back. What you were saying before, according to Rav Yashav, you could slide it off from 1 onto 3, and then what Rav Moshe calls 3, and then put it back. Because Rav Yashav, there's no 3, there's no 1, 2, 3. Any part of the blech that is considered hot enough. I don't know what he says about all the nuances in Rav Moshe, but this he does say, this I mean, according to the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak, quoting him, this kula and chumra, the chumra being that you cannot take food, and you cannot do nesina lechatchila onto any part of the blech where it'll get warm, even if not yatzol lesbo, you can't put it nesina lechatchila, but me'idach isa, if you did move the pot from there, you could move it back onto a hotter pot, because everything that's warm enough or hot enough that it enhances your food in any way is part of the kira, and it's all one kira. There's no 1, 2, 3; it's all one kira.
So according to Rabbi Yashav, then it means that food on spot number 3 would never get to that temperature where you could never put it back into like a hot flame. I mean, according to Rabbi Yashav, it's possible that right. So enough that on number 3 that it would reach a temperature where it's kibbutz chazar. Anymore.
Right. Well, maybe. I mean, it's not argument. See, whether what the temperature, but Rav Moshe just tells that moving it there is considering you masalik it from the esh. That's not the esh anymore. That's a countertop. It's just a warm countertop.
Right.
And Rav Yashav looks at it like it's a chelik of the kira. Okay, I think in America,
but
typically.
All this on a hot tray, on a crack pot, you have to have a piece of silver.
Yeah, crack pot, there's no 1, 2, 3. It's just one chepta.
But you have to have a silver.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
to do chazara on a crack pot, it must be lined. And not just on the bottom. As I said, it has the whole thing. A typical crack pot, you know, the cylinder oval thing, the whole thing has to be lined in order to do chazara.
Like
flat thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, then for sure. Then you just need to cover that thing. Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, so I'll just mention one more. I don't want to, there's still part of this I want to do, I don't want to squish it, but just mention one more nekuda, and that is that there's even a shita that holds that chazara is usur on Erev Shabbos. That means if you took the pot, according to the Ramah brings this down, if you took a pot off the fire on Erev Shabbos, and it's now close enough to Shabbos that if it were cold, it couldn't heat up. It's not cold. It's hot. But if it were cold, this pot couldn't heat up in time, then you're not allowed to do chazara. Then there's an issa chazara. Issa chazara, not just on Shabbos. Ramah brings this down, Rishon HaGimel Sif Beis, that issa chazara applies even on Erev Shabbos, when it's close enough to Shabbos that a pot of this size, of a tavshil of this size, cold, would not heat up in time for Shabbos. And he says, L'chadchili should be machmeh this way, b'chadchilish, but the saving grace is that you don't have to meet all the conditions of chazara to make it mutter. It just means it has to be grufa kutuma. I mean, you have to put it back onto a covered flame. Meaning, if you were counting, let's say the biggest nafkamina, let's say you were counting on leaving your chalt without silver foil, without any cover, because it's completely cooked. Chalt's completely cooked, and you're not going to do chazara. You just want to put it up before Shabbos and leave it there until I'm ready to eat. I'll take it off. I'm not doing chazara, so I don't need a blech. We learned last week, at least Sir Maker, I didn't. I don't need any blech. It's completely cooked. I can leave it up. But if I took it off before Shabbos to whatever it is, to adjust it, to taste it, to check it, and say, oh, beautiful, perfect, ready to put it back. Put it back. 1 second. It's 10 minutes to Shabbos. There's no way it would heat up in time for Shabbos. And there's no blech. So you, according to this chumra, you couldn't put it back. You couldn't put it back without a blech, even though it's Erev Shabbos. Right. As we say, they didn't.
Ready.
What?
Like it's not ready.
Yeah. That's the is. Yeah. So it's best. Lachatchila says to be machmir this way or not. you know, it's not makkah b'di'avad. If you're stuck, you could, but it would be best at that point to cover the blech.
Oh, yeah, so don't take it off if it's too close to Shabbos, unless you have it totally lined.
Right.
Which you should, if you're going to
put it right. It's not, just take it anyways.
Say it?
You can open the cover and just take it from John.
Yeah, okay. But sometimes you end up taking it off to whatever. Okay, Rishem, a couple more Nakudas. We'll hopefully pick up with this next time. Okay, take it down.